So this part of our service is what we call the hotspot. The title of Jeremy's sermon tonight is Family Values, and he'll be preaching on the passage that Ruth just read. Tonight our hotspot, though, is a little bit different. Fiona Bruce is going to talk about some work she's doing. Fiona is MP for Congleton, and she's been working on something called the Strengthening Families Manifesto. So Jeremy called me during the week and assured me that we're not going to mention the B word, but I'd like to ask Fiona, I can't see you, there you are, to come and talk to us for a few minutes.
Well, good evening, everyone. Yes, when Jeremy first asked me if I would be in the hotspot, I was a bit reluctant. But when he said, don't worry, it's not about the B word, I thought that's fine. It's about the work that I do in Parliament to promote the strengthening of family life. And the passage that we've heard from Timothy emphasises the importance of family relationships, including the extended family. And it recognises that a fundamental building block of a strong society is strong families, and that indeed before we should need to ask the state to step in, families should be supporting each other, and therefore building strong relationships is important. So as I say, Jeremy asked me to say a few words tonight because I constantly, with a group of other MPs, over many years have been pressing the government to put resources into strengthening family life in this country. And I'll just in a couple of minutes, I'll ask you for a few prayer points, if you would be so good as to remember them, of practical issues in ways that we're asking the government to do this. But I thought I'd just set the scene, if I may. In this country today, we have one of the highest levels of family breakdown in the world. Record numbers of children are taken into care. And a teenage boy today is more likely to have one of these in his pocket than a father in his home. And whilst the cost of family breakdown is assessed at around £51 billion, that's just in the financial terms. Actually, the cost is very much being borne by our children who are growing up today. By the time of GCSE age, almost half of children in this country will have seen their families break up. And actually, the highest cost is being paid by the poorest, because by the time children in the lowest income levels reach the age of five, they've seen half of their families broken up. And I want to just share with you some statistics which aren't even public yet. They're going to be published this month from an organisation I work very closely with on this issue. They have surveyed 5,000 people over a period of time. Those who experience family breakdown when aged 18 or below, and this is really the price that these young people are paying. If they've experienced family breakdown as a child, they are over twice as likely to experience homelessness. They are twice as likely to be in trouble with the police or spend time in prison. They are almost twice as likely to underachieve at school, to be a single parent themselves, and approaching twice as likely to experience alcoholism, teenage pregnancy, and experience mental health issues. And they are more likely than others to experience debt problems and be on benefits themselves. Family breakdown is a root cause of poverty in this country, and that's why I believe it's so important that government address this. And yet over decades now, successive governments of all colours have shied away from doing so for fear of being accused of being a nanny state. They'll treat the symptoms. They'll spend money on the symptoms, but they don't want to address the cause. Although I think there is beginning now to be a shift. But just to give you some examples of the cost of treating the symptoms. So this government's putting £100 million into funding a children's mental health worker in every school. And yet, I'm patron of a children's mental health charity, a charity that counsels children now as young as 4 years old with mental health problems. And I said to the chief executive, I said, what proportion of the children you counsel, and their waiting lists are closed, they cannot cope with the numbers. I said, what proportion have their mental health problems because they're coming from a home with dysfunctional relationships. So the family might not have broken up, but the relationships are dysfunctional. And Henry looked at me and he said, Fiona, he said, all of them. We're spending millions training more GPs because of the pressure on GP surgeries, because it's estimated one in five appointments is actually not a medical problem. It's a problem, for example, to do with relationships or depression. We have a housing crisis because families break up and then there's a need to provide two houses, not just one, and it's one of the causes of our housing problems today. So what's the solution? Well, there's always a book on hotspot, isn't there? Well, here's my book, booklet. I and a number of other MPs, and this actually has the support of around 60 members of Parliament. A couple of years ago, after working on this issue for some years, we decided to put together a manifesto to strengthen families. I'm not saying I recommend it as reading, but it is online on strengtheningfamiliesmanifesto.com, and it contains around 20 practical policy points for strengthening families. And so we talk to ministers, we call debates in Parliament, we ask parliamentary questions, and we're seeking to ask government to actually implement some of these policies. And I'm very pleased to say that actually over the last year and a half, increasingly I think ministers have become more and more interested, and so some of the ideas are being taken up. I'll give you just one. In the recent review of sex education in schools, and I know there are some contentious issues about that, but the title has been changed now, and it's largely as a result of the dialogue we've had with ministers, to relationships and sex education, with the focus on relationships, on teaching young people how to develop and sustain committed relationships in later life. We now have the word marriage, and in a positive sense, within the curriculum to be taught as a good way, as a good construct for bringing up children. That's fantastic. We've got now the government actively looking to support children of alcoholic parents to ensure that they have a fair start in schools, which might, they might otherwise not have. So what can you do? If you could pray for three of these policies, because Jeremy asked me if I could put forward some prayer pointers. Firstly, our first policy in here is a request that we actually have a cabinet minister for the family. Someone right at the top of government who will really take hold of this with passion. Someone who's appointed by the Prime Minister to look at these policies and to ensure that right across every department, whether it's education, whether it's health, whether it's Home Office, policies are put in place which actually strengthen family life, that don't actually negate it. And so that's our number one ask, that there's this, right at the heart of top of government, someone who will lead on this. It's happened with regard to equalities. We have a Minister for Equalities, and under that agenda, every department has got to check and look at how their policies measure up against the equalities agenda. Shouldn't we have one for family too? Secondly, we want to see within every local community what are called family hubs. These are centres where anyone can go with a family issue. It might be that your relationship's having a little bit of strain, but you don't want to go to the solicitor's door. So where do you go? It might be you're having challenges with your teenage, young adult children. So this is a bit more than just the children's centre concept, which was 0 to 5s. It's any family problem at all, you can go, and it's the local authority that will have input. There'll be some funding from local authority, but there'll be a lot of voluntary organisations based there as well. There are about half a dozen or so now that we've worked with over the last year or two that have sprung up across the country, and they are making a difference in the local communities. One in the Isle of Wight, for example, is now seeing fewer children going into care. One in my own constituency in Middlewich, based in a school, because they don't have to be based in local authority buildings. They might be based in a former children's centre, but they could be based in a school. They could be based in, there's one in Chelmsford, in a library. In Middlewich, the head teacher there has really taken hold of this, and he's already seeing now improved behavioural issues and better GCSE results. So a family hub in every community, and we're asking national government to actually pioneer good practice and fund this across the country. A little bit of seed funding so that many of the great organisations, like, say, CAP, don't have to just struggle on trying to exist, but can get some real support in a centre in the local community. And then finally, could you please pray that registrars will, when a young couple go to get married, to register them, their prospects of getting married, that they will be signposted to a marriage preparation class or classes. And that if they go through the class, their marriage registration fees will be waived. Because all the evidence shows that if young people do go through these classes before they get married, the relationship is likely to be more robust. And on that note, can I say thank you so much for the grand wedding idea, because that is actually sending out exactly the message that we want to send out, that this isn't just about one day. The marriage is great. It's great to have a wonderful wedding, but it's about supporting and encouraging young people to build these really strong relationships that will last a lifetime. Thank you very much. Thank you.